Hi, this is Megan McHugh, and this is the podcast of Triple R Zero G, a weekly radio show exploring science fiction, fantasy, and historical. Zero G is broadcast live on Triple R from Melbourne, Australia, every Monday. Hope you enjoy the podcast, and feel free to get in touch with us via our Facebook page or the Triple R website.
G'day, welcome aboard the Starship Zero G science fiction, fantasy, and historical radio for episode number 1556 entitled Hard Bitten Mercenaries. Podcast title is Podosaurus Wrecked. I'm Rob Jan. Our co-host Megan McHugh is leading an away mission, and thanks to Banksia as well, preceding the show. Now, we're travelling through the annual free Triple R FM radiothon at present, and the subscription slash donations to this show, Zero G, other shows or combos thereof, and or the station in general, are still very much also welcomed aboard. In fact, the pledge monitor is booted up, ready to go, and cleaving to this year's theme of digging deeper. If you subscribe during today's Zero G, we will happily give you a notional genre potty plant or a subterranean tour. And of course, there are multiple tangible benefits to supporting the station at this time, especially during the radiothon, because you'll also be in the running for the special prizes that our generous sponsors have donated, of which there are many. Now, today we are also going to be looking at some dinosaur movies. There's a couple out at the moment, but I think we'll only be able to do the Jurassic Park Rebirth one because that's the one that I've been off to see. Well, technically speaking, I downloaded it and streamed it at home. Now, I grew up with dinosaur movies on the telly. From the classic dinosaurs versus mega ape fight in the original and subsequent King Kong movies, to the even less plausible saurians versus cavemen and women adventures of when dinosaurs ruled the earth and 1 million years BC. And of course, there was the television cartoon show The Flintstones, which is no doubt still playing as I speak. Then, of course, there's all those other tales where dinos encounter humans in a more contemporary context, like The Lost World, Journey to the Centre of the Earth, The Land of the Lost television show, or The Valley of the Gwangi. And, of course, there's the dinosaur-adjacent majesty that is, was, and always will be Godzilla. Movies and shows which evolved technically through all sorts of dodges to create the dinos. Stop animation, hand-drawn animation, actors in suits, and even normal-sized lizards with extra fins attached to them in a variety of uncomfortable ways. So I was entirely primed in the 1990s to ride the D train to Jurassic Park. And I think I'll go to a track now just to prep you. And this is a quite charming little solo piano version of John Williams's main title for Jurassic Park, and it's by Peter Bentz. It's a single.
Well, this is Annie Lee.
And I'm Maughan Kransky of the Kransky Sisters, and you're listening to Zero G on 3RRR FM. Lock up your meat safe and beware of the machine with the claw.
Yeah, we had Peter Bentz's Jurassic Park solo piano rendition of John Williams's classic score from the movie. We're talking about Jurassic Park Rebirth here today on Zero G. And as you heard then, the radiothon for Triple R for 2025 is still ongoing at the moment. And as I said, I would give away, notionally at least, some Zero G flavoured items to coincide with our digging deeper theme to anyone who subscribed today during the show. Not necessarily to Zero G, but to any show at all, or any combination, or to the station in general, or indeed to donate, or again, any combination of that and subscriptions. There's a couple here that came in just before the hour, I think during the track that was being played on Banksia. So we've got Tony J. King here, who is saying, I heard a previous subscriber say that Triple R was the soundtrack to their life. I thought that was a beautiful and apt description of Triple R's role in our world. Indeed, I echo that sentiment and play those soundtracks. Thank you very much, Tony. And I will gift to you, let me see, since I was talking about Godzilla before, I'll give you a cutting off of Biollante, which is a kaiju, a daikaiju, actually a giant monster, combining Godzilla and plant DNA, which is very appropriate for talking about any Jurassic Park movie, since it's all about doing weird and unholy medical experiments with dinosaur DNA. We also have Gus Osborne, who is subscribing to Uncommon Sense, a great show on Triple R, one of very many other shows. The thing about Triple R I've always found is that there's another show coming down the tubes straight away after the one that you've just listened to, and you may be a fan of that one, or you may not, or you may never have heard it, but you will have a change, and it's not just some monotone of materialistic commercial music being played by some algorithm somewhere. Not that we've got anything against AI. No, no, not on Zero G, because I, for one, will welcome our robot overlords. All right, so for Gus, I think we will give you... I found this one and I realised it was quite a good one for digging deeper. The spaghetti tree, which is a tree from which spaghetti is harvested. And it was actually given a full spread on a 1957 BBC TV program called Panorama. It was actually an April Fool's Day joke back then. But no joke at all to subscribe to Triple R Gus and to Uncommon Sense. And also thank you for that. So we will move on back to our Zero G. Whoops, we've got another one just popped up here. Fraser McHarg, who is renewing and has mentioned Zero G there. Thank you, Fraser. Zero G's much-deserved turn on the roster this year. Shout out to Smart Arts and Einstein Agogo too. Well, you can shout out right now. Although it won't carry very much further in the actual studio. Oh, no, hang on. We've got the monitor radio out in the green room and so on. But it will go out on air. Love all of those other shows too on Triple R. Thank you, Fraser. And we will give you the Cleopatra. Actually, I've given that one away. Sorry. No, I will go back to this other one here. What have we got here? We'll go away from the plants for the moment. We'll go to some subterranean tours. What have we got here? The Hidden World from How to Train Your Dragon, which is a great movie, either live action or in the animated, which does kind of echo the Jurassic Park franchise in lots of ways. And I keep trying to get onto the content of the rest of the content of the show, the normal content, but we are clocking up more subscriptions here. So just roll over into Michael Doolan, who is subscribing to JVG Radio Method. And Michael, we will give you a potty plant here, that is to say a genre one from Zero G. Actually, no, I think we'll give you a tour of the Phantom Empire, which is an underground civilization in a classic serial, a movie serial. So thank you, Michael, for renewing to JVG Radio Method and to Triple R in general, of course. Oscar Jackson and Henry Doolan are also renewing to the JVG Radio Method. And since there are three of you, we will have to give you the entire underground city from George Lucas's seminal science fiction film THX-1138, which is the name of a stormtrooper in the Star Wars movie too. A little cameo sort of Easter egg moment in that. So thank you. Alrighty, so we'll go back to talking about Jurassic World Rebirth, but please keep those subscriptions coming in during the show and during other people's shows too, as the Radiothon is ongoing at the moment. All right. As I said, there are two dinosaur pickies at the cinema at the moment, Jurassic Park Rebirth, part of that humongous franchise, and also the, I think, Vietnam War era Primitive War movie, which is, again, with people versus dinosaurs. All right. So let's unearth the fossil record of the Jurassic Park movie franchise here, because there's actually quite a lot of ground, even though it's all fragmented into various islands all around the world. Steven Spielberg's now classic adaptation of science fiction disaster writer Michael Crichton's 1990 novel Jurassic Park. Well, Crichton was a director in himself and a screenwriter as well, and worked on the screenplay for JP number one, as did writer David Culp. So massively successful was JP that it cloned two direct sequels. And the first also was directed by Spielberg, and again based on a Crichton novel, was Jurassic Park, The Lost World, which came out in 1997, I think. And Joe Johnston directed the third movie in that original trilogy, JP 3. Didn't obviously need a subtitle for that one. They all depict the disastrous, well, the first Jurassic Park depicted the disastrous lead-up to the opening of an island-based dinosaur theme park, stocked with actual live dinosaurs tinkered up by cloning DNA, mostly extracted from mosquitoes, who had fed on the blood of dinosaurs and were then accidentally preserved for millions of years in amber. It was a billionaire entertainment maestro, Mr. John Hammond. It was his passion project, and it all went horribly wrong as a result of industrial espionage and perhaps the inevitability of such a complex biological project with multiple potentially catastrophic single and cumulative failure points. Jurassic Park and the two direct sequels set the template for the franchise. Theme park collapses into chaos, is abandoned with dinosaurs still in situ, and later other companies try to exploit the assets or hapless people who get marooned on the island or other islands where dinosaur cloning was carried out, and everybody has to be rescued, or not, as the case may be. Several main human characters are introduced in the first trilogy, some of whom survive in reappear at intervals in the first trilogy and again appear later in the second trilogy. And speaking of which, the second trilogy is rebranded as Jurassic World and shows the original island park reopened successfully and in operation for 10 years. It all goes wrong once again, and Spielberg directed, I think, the not the first one in any of these ones. There are four in this lot of second movies. I shouldn't say a trilogy then, it's a quartet, actually, because they've just added another one. So Jurassic World in 2015, Colin Trevorrow was the announced as the director and co-writer, but he didn't come out till a few years later than that, of course, because of complicated production. That's the one where the Jurassic World theme park has been running for quite some time, the 10 years, and again, things just fall apart. Thanks because to the fact that they've been experimenting with dinosaur DNA once again, not content to just clone them or re-engineer them and fill in the bits in their DNA charts that they don't have with frog DNA and so on. They do other things, and it's just a silly thing. It's like messing around with the xenomorphs in the Alien franchise. Never, never, never ends well. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is the next in the title. I think that came out in the middle sort of 2010s, 18, that sort of era. And this film was directed by J.A. Bayona. Again, Colin Trevorrow had some input into it. This is where the island of Jurassic World is destroyed by volcanic eruption. Now, that's a dinosaur movie classic trope, of course. Some dinosaurs are moved from the erupting volcanic island to the mainland for auction, where they again escape due to sabotage and then go on to spread out across the planet. Jurassic World Dominion was the penultimate one before the one before us today, with Trevorrow and Spielberg as executive producers. And, well, the film starred Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. And also all of the other stars from the original Jurassic Park. You know, so we had the two paleontologists, and also Ian Malcolm, the mathematician, reappeared as well. And again, this was about a dinosaur sanctuary where they were doing some experiments, and it all goes wrong once again. just recycle the plot. That's okay. Now, and that brings us up to Jurassic World Rebirth, where dinosaurs are now only surviving in zoos and in the wild in some locations in the tropics. This is set 33 years after the dinosaurs were reintroduced into the world in Jurassic Park. So it's JW Rebirth. Well, this stars Scarlett Johansson, amongst others. So we'll give you a track from Scarlett. This is from an album, speaking of Jeff Goldblum, from the song of the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. And Jeff Goldblum is working with that too, because, of course, he has a discography as well. And this is The Best Is Yet to Come. And, well, when we get to Rebirth, we will find out whether or not that is true or not.
Hi, this is Corey McAbee from Stingray Sam and the American Astronaut, and you're listening to Zero G on 3RRR FM. He does the things that folks don't do that need to be done.
Yeah. the track we had there before, which was The Best Is Yet to Come, featuring Scarlett Johansson, from Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra, from an album called Still Blooming. Master of the keyboards there, Mr. Goldblum. There. Oh, actually, I don't know if he was playing on keyboard on that one. Anyway, we've had a few subscribers come in to the Pledge Monitor during the track that we played there, which we're riffing off the presence of Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park movies, and now Scarlett Johansson as well. And we have Matt Shaw renewing to the station, and he's a DJ subscriber. And that means that, it means nothing in particular in terms of what we're going to notionally give away to Matt, apart from all the other substantial, tangible benefits of being a RRR subscriber. Today we are doing our Zero G thing and sort of digging deeper, passing on notional genre potty plants and subterranean tours to subscribers who we read out on air today. So in Doctor Who in 2010, The Hungry Earth and Cold Blood, they both occur in an underground city populated by the Silurians, who are appropriately, since we're talking about Jurassic Park, a race of reptilian humanoids. And we'll give you a tour of that. So mind how you go. Mind your head. You might want to wear a helmet down there, Matt. And to Pamela Williams, who is subscribing to Uncommon Sense, which shows Uncommon Sense too, especially with Zero G running around in the mix. We will give you an underground subterranean tour of, well, notionally at least, the Zork series are set in the Great Underground Empire. That's an interactive fiction computer game running from the 70s to the 80s. So there you go. Again, mind your head. You may need to borrow the Shoveler's steel helmet from the Mystery Men. And thank you very much, Pamela. All right, rolling back into Jurassic Park Rebirth. We talked about the initial, what were we up to, seven movies, including Rebirth. And there have been multiple television series, both CGI animated and regular animated, live action sort of on the grid as well. Lots of comic books, motion comic books, video games, you name it, there's some kind of Jurassic Park phenomena wrapped around it. So Rebirth, onto that now. We are 33 years in the universe after the dinosaurs have been reintroduced into the world in the first Jurassic Park. It is directed by Gareth Edwards. Now, we know him well on Zero G. First saw his movie-making prowess in the ultra-micro-low-budget movie Monsters back in 2010, where he was the writer, the director, the cinematographer, and the visual effects artist. Done on a shoestring, basically, that one. And a pretty good film, too. Great mood piece. And then he went on, of course, he snatched the the big flag, got to do Godzilla in 2014, a pretty decent interpretation of the Godzilla franchise, and that sort of rolled over into that whole Monarch Legacy of Monsters franchise. Then he did Rogue One in 2016, an excellent Star Wars movie, one of the best of the entire franchise. And also that most recent one about AI robots, The Creator, in 2023. Really enjoyed that one too. And now here he is rocking up to Jurassic World Rebirth. Now, this movie has actually been written by David Cope once again, so somebody who's worked on a lot of the Jurassic Park movies, the first one, the second one, the two Spielberg ones, and also The War of the Worlds in 2005, that'd be the Tom Cruise one. So I worked with Spielberg a lot. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, several of the Mission Impossible movies, Jack Ryan movies, Spider-Man 2002, so we're in the Sam Raimi ones, Dial of Destiny in 2023, and that was another Indiana Jones one. So, you know, worked on a lot of movies, some of which I didn't particularly like, some of which I really liked a lot. So, yeah, but somebody who obviously knows how to deal with the in-universe complications of dinosaurs. So, as I said, 33 years since they've introduced dinosaurs into the JP world, and this is like 3 years after Jurassic World Dominion. It's all very complicated, but not really. We are at another island, Isla St. Hubert, actually. And as I said before, the dinosaurs now are pretty much confined to either zoos or to different islands and areas in the equatorial zone because of environmental reasons. It's sort of they haven't done too well everywhere else. And it's interesting, they haven't gone full apocalyptic in these JP, JW movies. They've decided that they're not going to have dinosaurs absolutely everywhere. Because basically they would be handled. They're not bulletproof and they can be brought down by all sorts of means. So although it's more like endangered species now. And this thereby hangs the tale. As you know, those movies either revolve around theme parks crashing into ruin or else people going to the abandoned theme parks, but not abandoned by the dinosaurs, to exploit the dinosaurs. And this is one of the latter sort of category. They need some samples from the largest living dinosaurs in order to create a new miracle drug that promises to actually be extremely useful to people who've got heart problems. So they set up a company that's going to do this, recruit some mercenaries, and also a paleontologist who can identify the particular dinosaurs that they want. And they want three ones, samples from three in particular. So, all right, so who's in this movie? The hapless people. Oh, I also mentioned that the other trope in the franchise is there will be also some people who are marooned on the island, and that is the case in this. So we've got two groups of people in this one going to this particular island. Now, we've got Scarlett Johansson playing pretty much the leader of the mercenaries. She plays a character called Zora Bennett. She's a black ops expert. They throw a few names around and so on. She's trying not to be a hard-bitten mercenary in this because she doesn't want to end up in the gullet of a dinosaur. And in that case, you'd think that probably avoiding the whole Jurassic Park sort of thing would be a good idea. But no. They dangle numbers in front of her with lots and lots of zeros behind them because the heart disease medication they hope to develop from the dinosaur DNA samples would be worth an absolute packet throughout the world. Well, she, of course, Scarlett, is the one and only black widow. Of course, there is the white widow as well, but she is not that one. With all of those MCU movies. And, of course, she was Major Motoko in the Ghost in the Shell movie, the controversial one. And also I first saw her in the title role of Girl with a Pearl Earring. But she's been in so much science fiction. She's like the Mila of the other female action science fiction star, Eight-Legged Freaks, The Island, The Prestige, The Spirit, Under the Skin, where she played an alien, Her, where she played an AI, Isle of Dogs, Asteroid City in that Wes Anderson mode, Transformers 1, and the Phoenician Scheme, of course, too. So, you know, a credit-worthy actress in this genre. And she does the role justice in this one. She is trying to just make her nut, as they say, and get the money to get out of the mercenary business. Although you know that she's not likely to actually do that. She's enjoying the action too much, a bit of an adrenaline junkie. And that's the way she plays that in this one. She is the one who you should turn to if you want some leadership, if you possibly want to survive, but that's, you know, the odds against that are pretty high in a Jurassic Park movie or a Jurassic World one, as this, the case may be. She's got all the physicality for the role, and she looks like she is having an absolute ball doing this. And if you've seen her doing the press junket, the Jurassic junket, she's notably said, look, I've been a fan of this franchise all my life and I've always wanted to be in it, and here she is. She's pretty much note perfect in this, and funny at times because she's the perky one. So I'm like, oh my gosh. Her 2IC is a character called Duncan Kincaid, who is played by Mahershala Ali. And again, we've got somebody who's no stranger to the Marvel Universe. Although I first saw him, I think, in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button back in 2008, and then, of course, in the Hunger Games films. And he was in that Predators movie, playing one of the soldiers in that. And he was cast as Blade in the MCU. And whether or not that will eventuate, well, we won't know, because, of course, they brought back Wesley Snipes in the Deadpool and Wolverine movie. And, of course, Mahershala Ali has also played in the Luke Cage television show, where he played the character of Cottonmouth, and he also voices the Aaron Davis character in the Spider-Man Into the Animated Movies. So he's got a lot of creds in the MCU. And here he is playing opposite the Black Widow in Jurassic World Rebirth. He's actually a very engaging character in this, and he's, you know, possibly the character that you don't want to see get et by the dinosaurs at any stage. Will that eventuate? Well, you'll have to see the movie. He is a very practical person. And like Scarlett Johansson's mercenary, he also has a past and is quite damaged in various ways. But that doesn't stop him from being a very practical person to have on this adventure to the dinosaur island. Also got in here Jonathan Bailey playing Dr. Henry Loomis, a paleontologist. He actually is pretty much from a long line of scientist characters who have got more ethics in the Jurassic World, Jurassic Park series. Some of them have ethics, some of them don't. He does in this one. And it's not so much the fee that entices him to go on this adventure, but the idea of actually meeting some dinosaurs and seeing them in the flesh, since he studied the bones of them for so long. We've seen him before, Mr. Bailey, as Fiero in Wicked, and he was also in the 2014 Doctor Who episode Time Heist, where he was an augmented human telepath. He also does a lot of voice work in the Final Fantasy animated games, video game series too. He makes a possible romantic interest for the Scarlett Johansson character, but they don't actually go there. So, you know, I just appreciate him being there to be the one who gives you the relatively expert advice about the dinosaurs. He is a necessary character in a movie where you're encountering them all the time. The villain of the piece is Rupert Friend playing Martin Krebs, who's the pharmaceutical company representative who's organised all this. Yeah, he's just from the company, but don't let that fool you. He's really an okay guy. Well, he's not. And he's played a lot of bad ones in his time. He was George Wickham in Pride and Prejudice in 2005, and Stalin in the Death of Stalin movie in 17. And again, he has a Wes Anderson series of roles from The French Dispatch and Asteroid City and so on. In the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, he played the Grand Inquisitor, and he was Agent 47 in the Hitman movie. He plays this pretty much straight down the line, He is, you know, a wrong and right from the start, really. You can tell. There's no mucking around there. And, you know, voted most likely to be eaten by a dinosaur during the film. On the other side of the template, we're talking about the mercenaries there and their group. Then there's the inevitable family that gets shipwrecked and gets picked up by them, so they end up on the island as well. Manuel Garcia Rulfo plays the father of the family, Delgado. We've seen him before in From Dusk Till Dawn, the series, and also in Kenneth Branagh's Murder on the Orient Express. He is all concerned for his family, including his two daughters, a teen, which is called Teresa, and a younger girl called Bella. And Teresa's boyfriend, Xavier, is along for the unfortunate ride as well. They've got their own little dynamic going on there. Often in Jurassic Park movies, you have some sort of family group, children or relatives or an entire family or so on, and that is the case here. Sometimes it's an adopted family or a found family. And they serve as the sort of group that you are going to put in peril quite a bit because, you know, they're not experts at any of this. They're not mercenaries. But, you know, they're actually quite quite engaging as characters. And I thought, yeah, all right, I hope they live. All right, so, you know, a whole bunch of other people in here. Will they die? Will they live? Well, we'll have to see Jurassic World Rebirth to find that out. Now, the mercs in this movie, they're typically messed up. The family just struggling to survive. These are the people who will interact with the various carnosaurs and the herbivores that we will see in this. There's the mosasaur, the great big aquatic creature. There's some spinosauruses who are amphibious. There is the D-Rex, which is a really strange experiment that they've been carrying out on this island. And one of the good things I liked about the film is that they don't forget their sense of wonder. Gareth Edwards, the director, would never let them do that. The titanosaurs in particular are breathtaking. The action is fast-paced with some, you know, appropriate exposition detours along the way where things get quietened down a bit. The great soaring bird-type dinosaurs, the Quetzalcoatl, is suitably impressive, like something out of Avatar, but not blue. And there are things in this that brought joy to my heart, some of the dinosaur chases, and there are some good laughs in it too, moments to lighten the tension. Some things that you come out of this thinking, don't neglect to use drones where you can send a drone instead of a human into a dinosaur valley. Don't bundle up all of your weapons into one vulnerable cache. Don't create mutant dinosaurs. How about that for starters? And do appreciate geothermal power sources, which obviously have a long life and are still running parts of this island years after it's fallen. And also, never ever take a chocolate bar, a metallic chocolate bar wrapper into a secure containment facility. And above all else, put actual locks, physical locks and bolts that are not controlled by a computer. I don't know how many times that's been a problem in the Jurassic Park franchise, but just put a bolt on the door, you know, a big bolt. All right, well, did I enjoy Jurassic Park Rebirth? Is it a Jurassic World Rebirth? Is it a reasonable entry in the saga? Yeah, I think so. Gareth Edwards is too good a director to give us a big monster movie that's not going to snap and pop along the way, and it does. I think my preference would have been to have some of the action stunts just dialed up a little bit more. Some of them weren't quite as clever. But on the other hand, I'm sitting there throughout a lot of them with my toes appropriately curled. You know, there's a chase in a river system that's amazing. And, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in Jurassic World Rebirth. So would I give it maybe estimate of 0G's rating system? I'd give it for Jurassic Park Rebirth. And it's out now in the cinemas, but I did actually see it streaming on Prime on the rental arrangement thing. That can cause problems for cinemas, can't it? You know, the movie's still out in the cinema, but you can rent it for a fair price, actually, a fair old price. But you know, if you get a couple of people to watch it, then it becomes doable and cheaper than the cinema. But, you know, you're not actually in the cinema, and there's so many things to think about there. Anyway, what will we have as a track next? I think we'll have Jurassic Park from Weird Al Yankovic's Greatest Hits Volume 2, because he had to have a crack at it, didn't he? Alrighty, here we go with that.
This is Sir Derek Jacobi. Zero G or not zero G? That is the question.
Yeah, digging our hole deeper there with Weird Al Yankovic with Jurassic Park, obviously covering MacArthur Park there, which is appropriate, I think. And this is from his album. What have we got here? Weird Al Yankovic, Greatest Hits, Volume Number 2. And, of course, as you just heard there, the Triple R Radiophone for 2025 is still going strong at the moment. And digging deeper on Zero G ourselves, we are giving away notional potty genre plants and also subterranean tours to subscribers during our particular hour here, of which Jeremy Rann is one. And Jeremy has put in a message as well. Oh, great show. Well, it's spelled G-R-E-A-T, but I'm sure logic would suggest that it should be G-R-A-T-E. Oh, no, I'm only joking. I only catch Zero G intermittently, but it is always entertaining and informative. Thanks for consistently providing reliable and fun radio. And, yeah, I'm touched, Jeremy. Really, I'm touched. too much sun in Jurassic Park. And thank you for subscribing to Zero G and to Triple R in general. And may there be many, many more in the coming hours, especially with Joe Brunatic's Astral Glamour coming up after Zero G today. Now, I did actually watch another movie. And this is a weird thing. Like, I was watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which is a thing of joy and wonder. I've mentioned that before as the third season plays out on Disney Plus, and at the end of the episode I got shuffled over to a movie. You know, the algorithm did its thing, and I was watching 5 minutes, and I didn't know what the title of the movie was because they didn't have the title up front, and I thought, what am I watching here? And after a bit I realized I was watching a movie called Heads of State when they brought the titles up, and it actually proved not to be a bad pick. In terms of, this is something that I might sit down and watch. And it was late on a Saturday night. I ended up staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning watching this. I thought, oh my God. Well, it kept my attention. It is directed by Heads of State, I should say. Did I say one or two? Plural. It's directed by Ilya Naishala, who's a Russian-born director, and he did the films Hardcore Henry in 2015, and Nobody, you know, the one with Bob Odenkirk and Connie Nielsen, and Christopher Lloyd too. And that obviously put him in a good place for this one. I think it's a Prime. I saw it on Prime Video free, well, the subscription for that one, but also I have heard it went straight. It was a one that was done by Prime Studios, so they picked it up to do it. Stars Idris Elba and John Cena and Priyanka Chopra. It's also written by Josh Applebaum, who's a US-American TV writer, screenwriter and producer, and has worked on shows like Life on Mars and Citadel and Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles entries, actually two of them, including Out of the Shadows, which was a pretty damn decent film. And, you know, you see his name in conjunction with J.J. Abrams and Damon Lindelof and so on. And he's also working on an 8-episode live-action Scooby-Doo series for Netflix. How about that? So what have we got with Heads of State? Well, basically it's a buddy-buddy action comedy film. We've got Idris Elba plays the President of the United States, and Idris Elba plays the Prime Minister of the UK, and John Cena plays the President of the United States. look, they're aboard Air Force One when it's shot down, and they end up in where do they crash? Belarus. And this is the thing. They have to work together to survive. Now, John Cena's character, President Derringer, has actually been elected because of his high-profile celebrity status. Oh, who do we know? I like that. But anyway, it's John Cena, so you know all his stuff, Peacemaker and so on. But he is actually like an action hero in the movies in this universe. So he's not fully capable of defending himself in terms of, weapons training, et cetera, et cetera. But, he's John Cena, so he's a pretty big guy. He can beat up the villains. But Idris Elba was actually a former soldier, his character was, in this before he became Prime Minister. So he's got a few abilities in this. And, it's just a big, absurd, but funny, kind of cool movie in lots of ways. It's very slick. And, lots of things happen by coincidence and when they should and when they should not. But I really enjoyed it. Priyanka Chopra plays MI6 agent. Or is she a CIA? I can't remember. You work it out when you'll see it. And she, of course, is that great Indian star who's done a lot of action movies too. So she feels right in place with this. And her part in this is to be exasperated with the two amateurs in the film. So, also popping up as the evil Russian arms dealer, Viktor Gradov, is Paddy Considine, which is a strange sort of role to him appear in, but there he is. And Jack Quaid from Star Trek Lower Decks, who plays the voice of Brad Boimler and who has appeared as a character in live-action Strange New Worlds episode, and also Kick-Ass and from The Boys as well. He's in there too. It's just a fun little stupid movie. That sort of one where you're watching it. But, I should walk back the stupid a bit because it's actually got some good moves in it. What was the one I was wondering about? My partner Gail picked out on this one. She told me that my criticism of them hot-wiring a car, I thought, you can't do that with a car, can you? She said, no, but look, it's an older car, and you can do it on one of those. And I said, oh, okay, well, fair enough. Also, other bits and pieces in there. At one stage, John Cena's character is wailing upon the opposition, and he's sort of a bit sorrowful about it because he's used to doing stunt fights, and he's punching him and going, are you all right? It's like instead of doing the camera angle, throwing the punches and so on. They soon get over that, though, in the film, Heads of State. Look, it's all fairly predictable, but just fun. So, I think I'm prime at the moment. Oh, who else popped up in this? Ingeborg Dapukaneyite, who plays a Belarusian farmer, big star in the Scandi countries. They've got a few moves in this one. Enjoy that. Or not, as the case may be, but I did. So if I had to give it a yeah and nah rating on Zero G, I'd go, yeah, I had fun. I stayed up far too late watching it, but that's all right. I'm here today, probably a bit jagged edge, but all right. Okay, so let's go out with another Scarlett Johansson track. Bowie does some backing vocals on this and plays some music as well. And this is Falling Down from the album Anywhere I Lay My Head. And the songs in this are covers of Tom Waits' songs. So there we go, Weekly Bowie with Scarlett Johansson as well, who was one of the stars of Jurassic World Rebirth. All right, Joe Bonatic coming up next. Thank you, everybody, for putting in a few more subscriptions in Zero G's little hot zone here between 1 and 2 o'clock. And we will see you again next week, or at least you will hear us on Zero G.
G'day, this is Rob Jan. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Triple R's Zero G, a weekly radio show exploring science fiction, fantasy and historical. Zero G is broadcast live on Triple R from Melbourne, Australia every Monday. Hope you enjoy the podcast and feel free to get in touch with us via our Facebook page or the Triple R website.